In the name of Jesus, who calls us to go. Amen. Where is God calling you to go? We've been exploring the way of love these past weeks of Eastertide, and one of those practices of living a Jesus-centered life is to go. Here's what this practice looks like. As Jesus went to the highways and byways, he sends us beyond our circles of comfort to witness to the love, justice, and truth of God with our lips and with our lives. We go to listen with humility and join God in healing a hurting world. We go to become beloved community, a people reconciled in love with God and with one another. So if we're to be people who follow Jesus and go, we find ourselves crossing boundaries, listening deeply, and living like Jesus. Now, the most dramatic time I felt compelled and called to go was at the first parish I served as a priest. We had a ministry in Tanzania. I've told many of you about that mission in a sermon several weeks ago. Our mission was to build the schoolhouse for Maasai children miles and miles out in the bush. In 2011, I took a group of teenagers to Tanzania, along with five adults, and we embarked on a mission of a lifetime. And what we hoped for and expected did happen as we paired the teens with other teenagers their age who lived there in Tanzania. They were challenged to get out of their comfort zones. They experienced how these other teenagers lived, ate what they ate, and they understood third world poverty in a first-hand way. But it was in a morning, away from the school, just with our group. This group, we had traveled 10,000 miles together to get to the site. And it was on that morning that we had breakfast. After several days of eating as the Tanzanians did, we went out and bought a pallet of 60 eggs. We cracked them, we scrambled them, and we filled this large bowl with decadent, delicious eggs. Among the group, there was a 16-year-old water polo player. And as we made our line to fill our plates, Eli went to the front of the line. And the water polo player did what he does at home. He assumed that the food was made for him. He filled his plate with the bulk of the 60 eggs and proceeded to feast as only a ravenous 16-year-old water polo player can do. And that was the moment that set into motion our work of really learning what it means to go, to cross boundaries, to listen deeply, and to live like Jesus. But first, all hell broke loose. The other teenagers castigated the water polo player. How dare you eat my portion? How dare you not be aware of us? We all wanted those delicious eggs. That was just the tip of the iceberg. All of the annoyances with one another that we've been experiencing for the past 2 weeks lurking beneath the surface came to fruition. The egg incident sparked a number of conversations over our mission together. Not just about what it means to be considerate of one another, but what it meant to cross the boundaries of our ordinary lives into a deeper understanding into the realities of other people. We started to be able to listen more deeply, not just to one another, but to the people we'd gone there to serve. Now, if there were people who emblematically embraced what it means to go as a Christian practice, it was the earliest Christians. In the book of Acts, we heard this morning about Paul and his companions and all the different cities they were called to go to. Paul had this vision one night, a vision to get up and go. And the people who were with them did it. They got up and they went. And on their way, they encountered a group of women. And they were sitting around talking with them, and one woman in particular impressed upon them the power of her listening deeply to them. And because Lydia was listening so intently, this wonderful relationship unfolded between Lydia, Paul, and his companions. Lydia opened her heart and opened her home to these people who went. I believe that the lesson is that when we are willing to go, our crossing boundaries, our listening deeply, our going in the name of Jesus is not so much about transforming the world around us, but being willing ourselves to be transformed. Now, after the scripture we heard this morning in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas continue on this wild adventure, and they wind up in jail. And after they experience the power of God and their release from that jail, they go back to Lydia's house. They go back to this place where they can encourage others and where they have found and find encouragement. Going and experiencing transformation is inspiring and it's exciting. But that whole idea of boundary crossing or of listening deeply, I think is perhaps the most challenging of the practices of the way of Jesus' love. Having the courage to go means first getting up and getting into motion. I remember when I didn't want to go to summer camp when I was 13 years old. I didn't know anyone. And I begged my mom, please don't make me go. And she pushed me out of the car. And she gave me these words of advice. Go and introduce yourself to other people and listen to them. And if you're not having a good time in 3 days, she said, I'll come back and pick you up. So my mom forced me to go to camp. She was right. Once I crossed the boundary of my fear and my trepidation, out of my comfort zone, I had this tool of getting to know other people by simply listening to them. And I made all kinds of new friends. Going to camp changed my life. I probably actually wouldn't be standing here today if it weren't for that week at camp. In this morning's gospel, we find the man in the pool. He apparently didn't have someone like my mother in his life, because this is a guy who had been in the same place, doing the same thing, suffering from the same ailment for 38 years. No one made him go. And Jesus asks him a hard question. Do you want to be made well? It had to have been a confronting question. As Debbie Thomas writes, when Jesus looks at the man who had been languishing by the pool for 38 years, he sees more than sickness. He sees defeat. He sees resignation. He sees psychological and spiritual stagnation. He sees a man whose hope has dwindled, A man whose imagination has atrophied to such a point he can't even articulate what he wants for his body, his soul, or his future. And here's what happens next. Jesus himself asks this man if he wants to be made well. And get this, he doesn't say yes. After 38 years of incredible sickness, he doesn't say yes. Instead, he gets defensive. He starts to explain the logistics of the infirmary, how help is in short supply. There's no one to put me in the pool, he says. And then he grouses about how unfair it is that when he's making his way to the pool, someone else gets in his way. He continues to grouse. He invites pity. And he avoids the question Jesus has asked him. Do you want to be made well? Jesus has asked him a question that cuts to the core of his identity and his desires. Jesus wants to see his heart. Jesus essentially asks, what do you want? Has Jesus ever asked this question of you? Do you want to be made well from all that stymies, hobbles, paralyzes, and diminishes you? Do you want to stand up? Do you want to walk? Do you want to go? The man in the pool begins by making those excuses, by inviting pity. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't respond to any of that. I imagine Jesus, the conveyor of holy truth, standing before this man who's been avoiding the truth of what was possible for his life, not being moved by all of the excuses, not falling into the trap of pitying him. Instead, Jesus, like my mom in the car at summer camp, says this, stand up, take up your mat, and walk. And Jesus doesn't make mention of the past 38 wasted years. He also doesn't heal the man on his own terms. He doesn't help him into the waters of the pool. Instead, he simply says, get up and walk. Go. Go. Cross boundaries. Get out of your comfort zone. Listen deeply, both to what's being said and what's not being said, and follow Jesus. If we're going to really dig deep into the way of love, then we'll find that a major part of living a Jesus-centered life is being unafraid to get up and walk, to get out of our comfort zones. And perhaps the most important and challenging part of this practice is listening deeply. Instead of going assured in our own way, we are instead receptive and open to the way of healing, the way of life, the way of Jesus that can only be discerned beyond our own knowledge in the life of community. What do you really want? Do you want to be made well? What's the mat that you've been sitting on? Today, Jesus is inviting all of us to roll up our mats, pick them up, and walk. May you be filled with the courage to go. Amen.